Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is K Dix, your host with the most talk to you from In the Zone Sports Talk to you Sports Radio. Hey, I've been gone for a little while, but I'm back, and we're about to get this thing popping. We're about to get it popping like we ain't had it popping before. So how you guys doing on this Monday afternoon, morning, with your fresh cup with me, myself, K Dix, and my co-host, Corey Kelly. Corey Kager from Jasper, Tennessee. We're going to talk about some things today that may surprise a few peoples about the NFL. So, you know, it is what it is. It was what it was, and we got football coming up real soon. So let me go ahead and get my boy Corey on the line. Corey, you out there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
That's good. That's good. Hey, so Corey, what you got on your mind today?
Ah, it's so beautiful this time of year. It's football time. I can't complain. I can't complain right now.
Okay, that's right. It is football time, and we're going to talk some football today, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, what we're going to talk about is the strength of schedule for the NFL. A lot goes into the strength of schedule, as we all know, and sometimes we take it and we go a little bit overboard with the strength of schedule, but we're going to break this thing down. Basically, how we're going to do this is we're going to talk about the teams with the strongest schedule and the teams with the weakest schedule. Now, the thing about it is, though, is what you guys are going to find out that's going to be really surprising is that a lot of teams in the AFC are at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to this schedule. You know, so what we're going to do, we're going to break this down by division and talk about some of the teams that we looked at and we saw on paper that are supposed to be the toughest, some of them have the weakest. Now, it's kind of surprising, though, the teams that we're going to talk about. You're going to be like, what? Really? Huh? Yeah, that's how it's about to go down. That's how it's about to go down. But, I just want to read something here. It says, if you're looking for a team that might go from last place to Super Bowl winning in a span of just one season like the Eagles did in 2016 and 2017, not only are the Texans expected to get Deshaun Watson back, J.J. Watt, and they both have at least one of the favorite upcoming season. They will be playing the NFL's easiest regular season schedule in 2018, all based off of 2017 standings. Of Houston's 16 games in 2018, 64 against teams that won 5 or fewer games in 2017, including 16 against the 4-12, 1 against the Browns over 16. Texans will also have 5 games against teams that will be heading into 2018 with a new head coach. That within itself tells you where they rank the Houston Texans. So, hey, Corey. Corey.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Hey, so now, Corey, we're gonna talk about the NFC first and foremost. Okay. And in the NFC, these are the teams that we call off that have the hardest schedule in the NFC. The Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints, the Los Angeles Rams, the New York Giants, that's it for the AFC. For the AFC, we have the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas Chiefs, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They all have the hardest schedule. For the easiest schedule, we're going to talk about these teams. In the NFC, you have Minnesota Vikings, Atlanta Falcons, San Francisco 49ers, Philadelphia Eagles, and the AFC you have New York Jets, the Oakland Raiders, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Houston Texans. Now, the team that's called off from the AFC are ranked. That's what we think. The Oakland Raiders are tied at 29th. The Cincinnati Bengals are tied at 29th, and the Houston Texans are at 32. So, when I posted out there yesterday about who you think had the hardest road to get to the Super Bowl, it's definitely not the AFC. It's definitely truly it's the NFC, because in the NFC we have in the top five, you have Green Bay Packers. The Saints are tied at 2, the Rams are tied at 5, the Giants are tied at 8, and so all of those teams have the top 10, and they're in the top 10, okay? So we're going to talk about that for a little bit. So Corey, let's hit up on, let's look at Green Bay Packers' schedule, and let's talk about them for a minute.
All right. Packers scheduled their first week's a pretty solid win against Chicago, I think, personally. My biggest concern with the Packers schedule is the fact they played Minnesota twice. And then if you go down to week 6 to about, let's say week 14, that's a gauntlet schedule for me. They got San Francisco week 6, and they got a bye week. Then they got the Rams. Then they got a road game at the Rams and the Patriots back-to-back. That's a rough month in the NFL. But they do get a bye week in the middle of it, so that kind of helps them out. Then they got Miami after New England at home, so that's going to be a win. Seattle. I don't know where they're going to be at. They're still a toss-up for me. And then in week 12, they've got at Minnesota. And then they'll have Arizona and Atlanta at home.
Yeah. Okay, looking at the Green Bay Packers schedule in the regular season, they look like they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have 6 teams that made the playoffs last year, correct?
Yes.
And out of those 6 teams, they have, they play the Bills, that's at home. They play the Rams on the road. They play the Patriots on the road. you're right, you know, right in that area right there. That means that Green Bay has to fly to L.A., then they got to fly back to Green Bay to fly to the Patriots. And I think that's a Thursday. That might be a Thursday night game or a Monday night game. I think 11-4. I don't know what date that is.
It's a Sunday night game.
Sunday night game. So
yes,
that does help them a little bit. But man, that's a lot of freaking flyer miles right there for the Giants, for the Green Bay Packers. What do you think is going to be the biggest issue that they need to address this season, other than Aaron Rodgers staying healthy?
That's my biggest concern, really, is Aaron Rodgers' health. Maybe finding another go-to receiver for him. But I think they got that Randall Cobb anyway. Other than that, really, it's just his health. They got to keep him healthy.
Do you think that Dez Bryant would be a good pickup for that team?
Who?
Dez Bryant.
I just don't know if they'd take him, though. He's such a locker room cancer. I think he'd be a good fit there for Aaron Rodgers, no doubt. I mean, the man's still got some skill. It's just a team willing to take a chance on him. I don't think the Packers are willing to do that.
But you know, I tell you this, though. I think that because of the issue that they have right now, they don't really have a go-to wide receiver. I think that would be a good place for him. And the only reason I'm saying I think that would be a decent place for him is because he has a mature quarterback there, okay, that understands the game. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the playoffs. He won a Super Bowl. So he knows how to play at a higher level. I think that type of quarterback would be a good quarterback for Dez Bryant to have. But again, Dez Bryant knows he's not going to be the number – he might not be the number one guy. But that's fine and dandy if he's not the number one guy. But he can add to – he can help them in the red zone, I think. I think that would be a great pickup for Green Bay if they were to get that guy, per se, to help them out. Because we don't know who their number one receiver is going to be this year coming into the season. I'm surprised that they have the hardest NFL schedule right now. Their winning percentages against these teams is 138-118, and that's a percentage of 539. So I find it's going to be hard. I think they have an opportunity to maybe do better than last year, better than 7-9. I can't see Minnesota maybe going 13-3 again next year. I think that division is going to be really fun to watch. I think Chicago should be better. Detroit, I think, should be better. Minnesota is the one that won the conference last year at 13-3. Minnesota wins the division again. But Green Bay is going to play some good football this year. I think today should be fun. The schedule that they have is going to be really tough on guys. Maybe being a wild card, not really being in that position. What's your take on that?
I agree with you. I did my schedules last night, and I marked my wins and losses, and I have them splitting it with Minnesota, but I think Minnesota wins, you know, just one more game over the Packers. That's going to get them the division, but I could see them getting a wild card. They're not going to be like, you know, number one and number two seed with that schedule. It's just – it's too hard to do. And especially, like you said, without a solid wide receiver, which Devonta Adams is solid, don't get it wrong, and so is Randall Cobb, but they still need, a number one solid guy.
Right. And looking at last team, we got a couple people out here. Rob Lewis said Devonta Adams would be the number one guy. Don't you think, Jeff? I agree, he will be the number one guy, but I'm just saying it's going to be kind of hard for him. I mean, even though he's going to be the number one guy, they don't have Judy Nelson here. And Judy Nelson kind of was Aaron Rodgers' safety blanket. So who becomes that safety blanket for him now? Because what you can do, basically, is you can double Devonta Adams, and then, who you going to go to then? Okay, that's why I think that might be a good fit for him. Where I think that might be a good fit for Dez Bryant if he were to go to Green Bay. Okay, let's look at the New Orleans Saints, the NFC South. They're tied second with the Detroit Lions. The hardest schedule. New Orleans record against teams would be 137 versus 119. Then it's 5-35. Rob says Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham is probably not the same Jimmy Graham that we saw with Seattle. What's your thoughts on Jimmy Graham, Corey?
The Saints.
Jimmy Graham. What's your thoughts on Jimmy Graham? Even though he signed with Green Bay. Do you think he's the same guy that he was when he was with the Saints, or do you think the Jimmy Graham, they're going to get the Jimmy that was with the Seattle?
I think he'll have another good quarterback like he had with Drew Brees, which I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson. He's a great talent, but like you said, I don't think we're going to see that Jimmy Graham anymore. I think he's done for. No, I don't think he's done for, but his prime's past him, and he's trying to win a ring at this point. And
okay.
I don't see him being the same Jimmy Graham. I hate to say that because I'm a big Graham guy, but I don't see him being the same.
Yeah, I like Graham too myself. I like Graham. Let me see here. Let's talk. We're gonna talk about the New Orleans Saints, and then we got a call online. So let's look at the New Orleans Saints schedule. Like I said, they are tied second with Detroit Lions. And let's look at this schedule real quick.
All right. Well, their first two games should be victories because it's Tampa Bay and Cleveland, and they both got them at home, so that should be a win. Week three, they'll play at Atlanta. I think they're going to lose twice to Atlanta this year. I think Atlanta's going to take the division.
Uh-huh.
Then they got the Giants at the Giants. That's a toss-up game for me because I think the Giants are going to surprise a lot of people this year. So we'll leave that a toss-up. Then week five, they got Washington. I don't think Washington's going to be worth anything this year. I think they're going to be awful. So that's a win. But then they'll have the bye, and then they'll start out with two road games at Baltimore and at Minnesota. I think they lose to Minnesota. Then they got the Rams at home after Minnesota, so that's probably going to be another loss. Then they got Cincinnati on the road again. I think Cincinnati pulls an upset in that one.
Wow, okay.
And then they got Philly at home, which, once again, I believe it's going to go in favor of Philadelphia. Then week 12, they got Atlanta at home. A loss there. But then they go to Dallas on week 13, Thursday night, and I believe that they beat the Cowboys.
Okay.
And then I believe they went out from there, except maybe Pittsburgh in week 16.
Okay.
But other than that, they should win out that whole schedule.
Okay. So do you see them making the playoffs?
A wild card playoff, and by that, I mean they have to win. They've got to beat Cincinnati or Philadelphia to get the playoffs. I think if they lose both of those games, it's going to be really hard for them to get the playoffs with the caliber of teams in the NFC this year.
Okay.
From my perspective, okay. I mean.
Do you see I think that, they added some players last year. They looked really, really good last year. They scored a lot of points last year. Drew Brees signed. Drew Brees signed a 2-year deal, guaranteed all this money up front there, which is a good thing for Drew Brees. In the draft, they went after they only went after one wide receiver in the draft and one running back. They went after offensive lineman at the end. They got a tackle from Florida State off and a guard from LSU. Rick Leonard, they're saying this guy might be he could be the next I can't even think of his name. He just retired from the Browns, and I'm a Browns fan, I can't remember his name. That's crazy.
Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas, yeah. They're saying this guy could have a lengthy career with the Saints. They're talking about that he may keep Drew Brees for another 2 or 3 years after this contract, because he's supposed to be that good of a offensive tackle. But we'll see how all that works out. So they added some parts to the team, and nobody really walked away from the team that you could say that's really going to hurt them. I see them doing good things this season. I think that division is going to be fun, that's going to be a fun division to watch, because you got that division right there. You have New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay in that division. So New Orleans was 11-5, Carolina was 11-5, and I think at that point in time they both were trying to find a way to play the Rams last year, so that's why they both ended with 11-5 and Atlanta 10-6. You know what I'm saying? So let me ask you a question. Do you see those three teams making the playoffs again next year?
I can easily see it happening. There's no doubt about that. That's one of the premier divisions in the NFL overall, I personally believe. I don't see all three teams getting in. I think, honestly, I could see two out of the three getting in at most. But I believe Carolina may have a down year this year. And I believe the Saints will still be decent. I mean, most of my picks are just based off, give my guess on. But I can easily see Atlanta and New Orleans back in there, or, New Orleans and Carolina, or Atlanta and Carolina.
Okay. Okay. All right. And I just think that I can't remember how defensively, if they added any free agents or anything like that. I can't remember if they really went out and did anything on the defense side of the ball. I'm going to look at the depth chart real quick to see what they have out here. They run a base 4-3 defense. And let's see here. They run a base 4-3 defense. They got Cameron Jordan, defensive tackle, Shelton Rankins, other defensive tackle, Taylor Davis, Alex Okafor, Alex Ngono, Demario Davis, AJ Klein, Marshawn Lattimore, who's good. Kirk Coleman, Marcus Williams, and Kenny Crawley. So they got a good corner. They got one corner that can shut down one side. of the corners, so they do have that coming back. But I don't know if they really added – I don't think they really added enough to be at 11-5. I could probably, you know, maybe making the playoffs, but a schedule like that, I mean, it's weird because you got the Saints and Tampa Bay are in the same division. And Tampa Bay has, I think, has the third tied for the second part of the schedule, and you got Tampa Bay with the fourth part of the schedule at 136-20. So I think that a lot of things have to break their way in order for them to make the playoffs or not make it up, but have a winning record and get in the playoffs. I think with them having the third part of the schedule, it's going to be rough. So you look at the schedule and you look at the games you have to play on the road. It's going to be a carousel of what's happened with this team. I mean, they're playing tough teams on the road. I think that Tampa Bay and Cleveland, that they should be winning. Atlanta, that's going to be a tough game. But on the Giants, that they should be Giants off. Redskins, they should win that one. Baltimore, we don't really know if we're going to get from seven jump because, you know, they talking about Lamar Jackson maybe getting some playing time, back or, you know, you don't know which chance to take. They play Minnesota, the Rams, and Eagles. If you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're looking at 7 teams that made the playoffs. And out of 7 teams, 2 of them are in your division that you have to pick a spot. So it's a big part of the with that type of schedule they have. NFC West. North, South, East. NFC East, the New York Giants. Let's look at their schedule. They're tied for 8th with the schedule being 136-20. The winning percentage of 5 points. We are football Giants. And while we're doing that, let's bring in, I think we got a call online. Let's bring them on in the line. Area code 973, that's 46921. Who's calling in? Who are you calling from?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Lou calling from the car phone in Southern Jersey this morning.
We got 3-2 on the line. What's up, Lou?
That's
what's
right.
On?
All right. Well, turn to the West for a minute. What do you think the players are going to do now that Jimmy G has, you know, stepped up from the late season of last season? Is he going to be able to carry it over to the upcoming season and make him a legit contender? Or was that just, you know, beginner's luck? I'm not sold on this yet.
Repeat that again.
On Jimmy G, do you think he's going to make the 49ers a contending team again, as he, you know, like he did late last season, or are they just going to fall back to where they were before he came? I'm not sold on him just yet.
Okay. Because if you brought them up, hey, Corey, let's go ahead and hit off on one of the ones. I think 49ers have they have the easiest schedule in the division. They're top 15. They're 128 with a 500. Let's take a look at them. Brought that team up. So
their first week they start off pretty hard. I mean, their first game's at Minnesota, so that's really going to be a statement game for Jimmy G, which I believe they will win because I'm a firm believer in Jimmy G. I think the kid's got all the talent in the world. Week two, they play Detroit at home. I'm going to give them the home advantage and give them the win on that one. Week three, they go to Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City is going to be good as everybody thinks they're going to be. So that's going to be a win. Then they play at the Chargers. I like the Chargers until about 4 days ago, and then I got sick to my stomach. I believe they will win this game. But we're going to keep hope out for the Chargers because that's my prediction. They got Arizona week 5, I believe. You know, you never know what's going to happen between them two. Week 6, Monday night at Green Bay. That's going to be a very good game, I personally believe. I could see the Packers winning it. I could see the 49ers winning it. That's really a toss-up for me. I'm going to go with the vet and say Aaron Rodgers pulls it out.
Hey, that game right there, what day is that game on? Is that a Monday night game?
October 15th.
That's a Monday night game.
Yes. Hello?
I'm still here.
What day? You said it's a
Monday.
Okay, because I'm looking at their schedule, too, and they got them playing the Rams 6 days after. That can't be. Because that's a Saturday, right? Monday? Yeah, 15, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
They play them on Sunday night, actually.
21. Is that a Sunday night game?
Yes, sir. That's going to be a rough 2 weeks for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they got Arizona on the road, so I think if they lose them 2 games, they bounce back against Arizona. Oakland, I don't know what to even think about Oakland, to be honest with you. Every year I predict them to do good, and then they do subpar. I think the Raiders actually win this game against the 49ers by 10 points. I'll say 10 points.
Okay.
And then they have another Monday night game, week 10 against the Giants at home. So I believe they will win that game. Then they get a bye week, week 11. That's a late bye week. So that's going to be a gauntlet for them. And
yes,
then,
it is.
Then the letter or week 12 they have at Tampa Bay. That should be, you know, I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be very good at all this year because I think they're about to transition Jameis Winston out of the building. So that should be a win. Seattle,
yes.
Like I said earlier in the show, I don't know how good they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a toss-up for me personally. I believe Seattle will win it at home. I'll give it to them at home. Then they got Denver. That'll be a win. Seattle again. I think they'll beat them at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Chicago. I think that'll be a win. But then this last game, depending on how good both teams are, the Los Angeles Rams. I can see them pulling that off.
Okay. Okay. So we're looking at this. They got 1, 2, 3. They have 3. Let me look at this again. But they got 1, 2. They have 3 games that so that's why they're probably they're ranked 16 and they should be scheduled in the West. And it's funny that they have a lot of money that is for teams that were 6-10,
they have a lot of Monday night games coming up for them. And to answer your question, Lou, I'm not sold on GG yet because, you know, San Francisco fans, like, they, you know, he won all these games at the back end of the season. But at the back end of the season pretty much was over and done with.
Right.
And so they didn't really play any – they played some competition, but they didn't play any competition. I mean, if you really look back at the, if you look really look back at their schedule, in 2017, let's just take a look at it real quick. They played the last game they lost was November 26th, to Seattle. They beat Chicago, which wasn't that good. They beat Houston, that wasn't that good. They beat Tennessee, which Tennessee should have won. They beat Jacksonville, but Jacksonville had already had everything locked up. They beat the Rams. The Rams had everything locked up. So they beat teams that really wasn't that good at the end of the season. I mean, but you saw what Jimmy G can do. But again, I think once everybody gets them, everybody gets to get a chance to watch the play and get. Everybody gets a chance to watch him play and get the film on him. I think that you're going to see a different type of guy because they're going to adjust to how he played during the last five games. I mean, it's just a dress rehearsal for what he did for this season coming up. And they may change some things up. They may change some things up, change some things around for him as far as what he does offensively for the team next year. But if you're a good defensive coordinator, you can look at and you can say what you think they're going to do, you know, and try to predict what they're going to do with Jimmy G there. I'm still waiting to see how good this guy's going to be. In my opinion, I'm not saying he's not going to be that. I'm not going to say he's not going to be good. But I just want, you know, I'm from Missouri, the show me state. You got to show me that how good you can be before our king. I know he got a good, I know he got a fat paycheck. He got a real big fat paycheck, but let's see how well he goes about earning that paycheck. Like I said before, they have the least amount of playoff teams on the schedule in that division. So they should be able to do something, you know, make some type of damage going on with that team. I think that they're built today to have, I think they have a good 22-man roster, but the thing about it is when somebody gets hurt, can you replace that guy with somebody that can adequately keep you competitive during the game time game? You don't have your number one guy on the field, so that's going to be the question mark for me as far as what San Francisco can do this upcoming season. Because, like I said, they played the Rams twice, and they played play Minnesota, and I think Kansas City made the playoffs last year. But those are the only three teams that made the playoffs this year. But I do think that, and I'm gonna add Corey this though. But I think that somebody's drinking the Kool-Aid for the Los Angeles Chargers. Because they were USA today predicted them to go to the Super Bowl. So just another beating path. Corey, why do you think they're putting all this Kool-Aid on the Chargers next season?
Honestly, I don't really understand it either. I do think they will be a lot better than they were last year. But as far as crowning them Super Bowl champions, I wouldn't go that far just yet.
Not at all.
Because they don't have a tight end, as far as I know, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still pretty mad at the fact they got rid of Antonio Gates. You know, that's one of my players.
Big match right there.
And just let him go. Then their backup gets hurt. And honestly, I've noticed in the past, San Diego, they have a lot of injuries during the off season and in the regular, like early on in the regular season.
So that kind of concerns me. I don't think Keenan Allen is a top, you know, a top five wide receiver by any means.
Okay.
I think he's a very good wide receiver. I think he's, you know, top 10 maybe, but I don't know how good their defense is going to be. I'm not really completely sold on their defense just yet. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm not going to say they won't make the playoffs because I've got them predicted to make it to at least the playoffs, the wild card.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will go to the Super Bowl.
And I think they have to have a healthy 50-man roster in order for them to advance. It's always been an injury here or there that caused them not to be in the playoffs. They've always been a competitive team. I mean, if you look back at their schedule from last year, I don't think they got blown out in a lot of games. I'm just going to pull up the schedule now and see what the schedule looked like from last year. But they didn't, I mean, they had some key injuries last year that caused them to go south really fast. Like for example, now the first four games they lost to Denver 24-21. They had opportunity to win that game. They lost to Miami 19-17. They had opportunity to win that game. The Kansas City game, the 24-10 game, that kind of went haywire. That kind of went haywire at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
They lost to 26-24. You know what I'm saying? Then they went on a little winning streak, and they lost a couple games there. But all the games, they were pretty much in the game that they lost. You know, I tell people all the time, if the only thing you do is look at the cover of the book, you can't tell me what happened in the first quarter and what happened in the fourth quarter because you read the book. You need to watch the game. You know what I'm saying? So I watched some of the games. I saw them being a really competitive team. So I think health is a big issue with them. And if they can stay healthy, I think they're bound to do good. They're definitely bound to do good. Lou, anything else you got for us, man?
Well, as you mentioned with the Packers, I was wondering how you think they're going to hold up without Jordy Nelson.
We talked about that earlier, and that was one of the key things, Rich. And me and Corey, I said to Corey, I said, I think that they should try to go after Dez Bryant for the red zone, at least to get him in the red zone. Even though they got Jimmy Graham there, we don't know if Jimmy Graham is still that player that he was with the Saints, as he is going to be with the Packers. You know what I'm saying? Because the one we saw with Seattle really wasn't that type of guy, even though injuries kind of hindered him in playing with Seattle. But still, when he first got there, he still didn't look like he fit in with that team. And we know with the Packers, the tight end is a big part of their package. So I think he'll do well there, but I would be just saying that because Jordy Nelson was the one that makes that kicked that thing off, you know, with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
So without Jordy Nelson, you know, you got Devontae Adams, who's going to be the number one, should be the number one wide receiver, you know. So what could Jimmy Graham bring to the table? So that's what me and Corey were talking about earlier, because Green Bay Packers, believe it or not, have the toughest schedule out of everybody in the NFL in the Houston. Houston Texans have the softest schedule out of everyone in the NFL. So it's kind of funny that you brought the Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers back up here.
Well, when I see the lineup changes, I'm always suspicious of, like, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, when a certain player is gone, you know, because sometimes it all takes just one change to make a break.
You're right. I totally agree. All right. I mean, Lou, if you want to stick around, if you want to stay on the line with us, that's cool. We're getting ready to talk about the New York Football Giants and their schedule and their strength schedule. Their schedule is they have the toughest schedule in the division. They're tied at eighth with Minnesota.
with Minnesota, and Minnesota having one of the easy schedules, but they're tied with Minnesota. With New York Giants would be 133 and 123 with the opponent, and with a winning percentage 520. So let's take a look at the New York Football Giants.
I'm just going to say this right now. Weeks 1 through 8, until they get a bye week, is a gauntlet schedule. That's awful. They start off with Jacksonville at home. Then they travel to Dallas for a Sunday night game.
Wow.
Then they travel to Houston. And then they have New Orleans at home. Week 4. Week 5, they travel out to Carolina for a short week to play Philadelphia at home on a Thursday night.
Oh, boy.
And then they play at Atlanta the following Monday night. So they have like a little break in between. So that'll help them.
Yes.
And then they have Washington to start out to end their first 8 weeks. And that's awful.
It is brutal.
That's not a very favorable schedule.
No.
No, it's
and
not.
I mean, after that bye week, it's still not favorable towards the end of it either. They got after they come back from bye week, they play Monday night against San Francisco. Then they'll play Tampa Bay at Philly. Then they'll have Chicago, then at Washington. Then weeks 15, they'll play against my Titans, which is going to be a loss for them. And then they'll play at Indy and at Dallas, or then have Dallas at home.
So they don't
catch a break.
I heard you put that in there that they're going to lose. You slid that in there real quick, though, but I heard that, Corey. I heard that. you're looking at Jacksonville, who's a playoff team. Cowboys are going to definitely be better with Ezekiel being back for the full season. You got the Texans, who's going to be better. They don't have all the weapons back. You got the Saints, who's a playoff team. You got the Carolina Panthers, a playoff team. You got the Eagles, a playoff team. You got the Falcons, a playoff team. So they play 1, 2, 3, 4 teams in a span of 5 weeks. That's playoff teams. Yo, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I don't know if Barkley can be that savior for those guys during that time space. That's a lot of good teams you're going to be playing against. Then you got San Francisco, fucking there. You play the Eagles again. Redskins, Titans. You got the Colts, the Cowboys. I really do think this last game with the Cowboys is going to matter for the Giants. Maybe even drafting, because I don't know if they should be able to double this year. And only teams I see them make beating for real, Redskins, the Bucks, Bears, the Colts. This schedule
Bears.
Is brutal
yeah.
for that. I can't see them making I just can't see them making the playoffs. Everything they had to go to the team, I don't think they added enough to be able to be to get the win. I don't think they're going to win the division. And I don't know how close we will be to a wild card because that schedule that they're going to have
right
there.
I'm getting ready, and I'm like, you know.
That's a brutal schedule right there that they're going to be handling. So it's going to be tough to see how it's going to be good to see how well these guys react to this. I mean, Eli, they still believe in Eli. They think that Eli can bring them a Super Bowl, but I don't think Eli can bring them a Super Bowl this year with the schedule that they have.
I don't think they're going to do it.
This schedule is going to be rough right there. Okay, so we went over the NFC teams with the toughest schedule, and now let's go with the AFC weakest schedule. Now, and I want you guys to listen to what I'm going to say to y'all. Listen very, very close. All four teams in the East, in the AFC with the weak schedule are tied for 25th and down. So you got, Lou, you got your New York Jets at 25. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their teams they're playing against is 122 to 134, where just a 477. You got the Oakland Raiders at 20, tied at 29, but 151 to 135, with 20% to 433. You got the Cincinnati Bengals tied for 29th, with wins 121 to 135, with a percentage of 473. The Houston Texans, 32, with 116 to 140, with winning percentage of 453. Now, Corey, let's look at the Houston Texans schedule. Okay, because this is the one they're saying they got the Houston schedule in the league. So let's take a look at them and see where they stand at.
All right. Well, week one they go to New England. That's a rough one for them. Week two they're going to take another loss to my Titans. Week three they got the Giants. Week four they got at the Colts.
Either way.
Week five they got Dallas, then Buffalo, then at Jacksonville. Then they have Miami on Thursday night.
Okay.
Then they play at Denver on week nine. Have themselves a bye week, and they come back to go at Washington. Then they play the Titans at home on Monday night. I believe they'll beat us on that one. That's all right. Then they'll have Cleveland at home. The Colts at home, at the Jets on a Saturday on week 15. Then they go to at Philly and then Jacksonville.
Yes.
Even with the easy schedule, I still don't see them winning the division. I love to say that.
No, probably not.
I don't see them winning the division.
So they got 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 4 teams to make the playoff. The Bills, Jaguars, the Eagles, and they play the Jaguars again. So I can see the schedule being easy. I don't see them being 4-12 next year, but I don't know about them. I don't know about them. Like you said, Corey, I don't know about them winning the division. That schedule is kind of tough. But I think that the whole key to this right here is that I think they got to start off. If they could beat the Patriots, that's going to help them in the long run. If they lose to the Patriots and get blown out, that's not going to look good. If they look at their game and the game's close, then they got something to build on because they can say, you know, we made a mistake here or we made a mistake here. Like if they drive and they turn the ball over, you can't account for that right there. You can't. If you look at that and say, yo, that's why we did lose the game because of the turnover. But if you take some positive out and say that we was on a drive to kick the winning field goal or kick the or score a touchdown, then you can build on that. So the first two games is going to be really, really important for which way Houston goes. J.J. Redick, J.J. Watt definitely got to stay healthy. You got what's the other defensive end you got down there? What's his name? The big Clowney. You got Clowney over there as well. He seems like he's healthy. I think they're going to see a lot of – I think – their defense is going to be – if their defense can help them guys get turnovers, I think that helps them because that gives them short field and that gives Deshaun Watson opportunities to use his legs a little bit more
compares to them drive trying to go 80 yards or 70 yards or anything like that. So I think that this team with an easy schedule is going to be real interesting to watch. I think this whole division is going to be fun to watch. Because of Deshaun Watson, it's going to make this thing even better. You got your boy Eminem at quarterback. That division is going to be a nice division to watch. If you're a fan of one of these teams in that division, it's going to be nice to watch these guys. But as far as you know, what they did in the draft, they addressed more offense than they did defensive. Which is not a problem, but they did address some issues. I think they should have went after in the draft. I think they should have went more so. I would have went for another defensive end, closer to up in the front of the draft, because you don't know what you're gonna get with J.J. Watt.
Right.
And they did draft the defensive end, but they ain't drafted to the sixth round. So I know there was some defensive ends that they could have got in the third round. Because in the third round they had 4, 16, and 34, and because they gave half the draft picks to the Browns for Deshaun Watson. So, but still, I think I would look more so into bringing on another defensive end. I don't know if they signed one off the street or from another team, because you just don't really know what you're going to get with J.J. Watt. And, you know, if you got J.J. Watt on one end, you got Clown on the other end, then you got two bookcases right there to disrupt some offense. So we'll see how that goes for them. All right. So we were up in the air about them making the playoffs. I think they're going to be competitive. I think that they have to win a lot of games and be competitive. 9-7 keeps O'Brien's job. Anything less than that, barring an injury, I think that he may be out of there, because I know they were talking about him leaving before. I don't know if he signed a contract or anything like that. I just know that they're keeping him around for another year. So we'll see how that works out. Okay, so now let's go with the New York Football Jets tied for 25th with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who has the I'm looking at Pittsburgh always. Some of Pittsburgh always end up with a soft schedule. I don't know why. I can't remember the last time Pittsburgh had a hard schedule. But the Jets are tied with Pittsburgh at 25th at 122-134, the win percentage of 477. So let's look at the New York Jets. And this might be near and dear to Sweet Lou, because he is a Jets fan.
Well, Lou, I got bad news for you, buddy. I don't see y'all doing too hot this year. Week one, they start out at Detroit. That's a win for Detroit, I personally believe. Miami, week two, I believe the Jets can win that one. I don't expect much out of the Jets or Miami, regardless, no offense. Week three, at Cleveland Thursday night. Write this on your calendars, mark it down, because Cleveland is going to show up and beat the Jets soundly.
Oh,
it's really
24-3. I'm calling it. It's not going to be like super ugly, but it's going to be bad enough. Week four, take much out of the same from at Jacksonville. I don't see them putting up much of a fight against them, although I hope they do, because I hate Jacksonville. week five, Denver at home. I see Denver pulling that one out. Week six against the Colts. I got the Colts winning. I hate to say that. I hope the Jets do win. I'm cheering for you, but I think the Colts pull it out. Week seven, they have Minnesota at home. It's probably not going to be close. Week 8 at Chicago, I believe Chicago will win that one. Pretty good game. I think it'll be a closer game than what many expect. Week 9 at Miami. I don't think Miami's going to be worth anything this year. I don't really know what to expect out of them. So just for safety reasons, I will pick the Jets on this one to win. Week 10, Buffalo. I believe Buffalo will win this one. Week 12, after the bye week, they got New England. That's going to be a loss. Week 13, losing my Titans, most definitely. Week 14, I think they're going to beat the Bills on the road. Something in me just says the Bills are going to lose this game week 14 at home. I think the Jets pulled the upset in that one. Week 15, Houston at home, I believe Houston will win. I hate to say it. Week 16, Green Bay, that's going to be a loss. And then week 17 at New England, they could win it because Patriots probably resting their starters. It just depends on how New England does. But I'm just going to be safe and say a loss on that one.
Yeah. Okay. And playoff teams, they have 1, 2, 3. They have 3 playoff teams on the schedule, but the division that they're in, I think that's the issue. You got the Patriots, you got Miami, you got Patriots, Miami, and who else they got in the division? I can't remember who else it was. Patriots,
New England. Well,
looking at that, Lou, what, give us your thoughts on your Jets. What's the best case scenario for your Jets? Because we know that if the Jets don't step up and play some good football, that your boy's
exactly.
gonna get fired. So being that they have one of the easiest schedules, how many wins do you think it would take for them to keep Todd Bowles to keep his job?
I think they would need about maybe 7 or 8 wins to do that.
7 or 8 wins.
Yeah. As bad as the record was last season, it wasn't as bad as most people think because we got cheated out of a couple of wins. So we deserve better. But I think we can now improve on that, and we're going to move a step up. I mean, probably going to miss out on the playoffs, but at least it would be a more respectable season by Jets standpoints over the last few seasons. And just might be enough for Bowles to keep his job.
So, what's your thoughts on your quarterback situation? You got A.J. McCarron up there who's finally going to start, and then you drafted Josh Allen, who I really love, who I wanted the Browns to pick over Baker Mayfield. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm looking at you guys' schedule, and I'm gonna say, let me see: Detroit, Miami, Cleveland, Jacksonville. Your first month, you play 3 on the road, 1 at home. You turn around, you play 3 at home. So I say by October 21st, depending on what the record is, we might see a Josh Allen sighting, or we might not. What is your thought?
Well, that's a turning point in the season when we get to like the 7th or 8th week. If it's a decent start, I think Jets are safe and Bowles will be safe. If not, then I think Bowles is going to go.
Okay.
If I had to make a choice for quarterback, I would probably have to choose maybe. I'm going to go ahead with Hackenberg.
For who?
You're picking Hackenberg over Donald?
I'm not convinced on Donald just yet because you know how the West Coast teams are, the West Coast players that when they come over here, they usually fall flat. So this might be another prime example. I mean, we haven't done anything since Sanchez, you know, in the West Coast. So I'm not putting my money on Darnold just yet.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think he's going to be worth much of anything. Especially if he does get to play some this year. I think it's just experience, but I don't think he's going to pan out well over there anyway.
You know, this is my thing, though. Is I don't understand them going after A.J. McCarron, who's basically been in Cincinnati for 4 years, and then he becomes a free agent, and they draft, they sign to a contract, but they go out and draft the quarterback. That kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit on what the Jets were doing, or did the Jets just say, yo, we need another quarterback, let's grab this guy up and see what he can do, because it didn't make sense to me. You got two guys coming into a new system, okay, and they both have to learn the system. I mean, AJ should win the starting job because he's been in the NFL long enough. Josh Allen, there's a possibility you might get a chance to see him. But what quarterback did you say you wanted to see play?
I said Hackenberg.
Well, you know he's no longer with the Jets, right? They released him. They traded him to somebody, and then they released him. So Hackenberg is not even on nobody's roster at this point in time, I don't believe. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's not, I don't even think he's in the NFL no more. Let me take a look here. Hackenberger. I didn't like Hackenberger he got traded to the Raiders, and then the Raiders said Hackenberger waived by the Raiders 3 weeks after trade, so he is no longer on a football field with anybody. So that being said, that's not the guy you want at the quarterback because he's not in the NFL. And being a Penn State fan, I was not a big Hackenberger fan. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not like him. Everything I heard about him was not good. He was all about I. And I think the only reason why he really made it, the reason why he looked so good as the head coach, and he's a quarterback coach, so he's got the best out of both him and McGloin. It's funny that McGloin was with the Raiders as well, the quarterback that Hackenberger replaced at Penn State.
I think with the safe bet, maybe they'll have to go with Josh McCown.
Yeah, that's something. I think that Josh should probably be I think Josh is there basically to teach Josh Allen the game of football. And understand it from a perspective of a quarterback, because Josh has a lot of knowledge. And don't be surprised when Josh retires, he's going to come back as a quarterback coach or offensive coordinator or something like that, because they say this guy's IQ is off the chart. It's definitely off the chart.
Yes.
All right, so look like look where we at here at time frame. We got about 20 minutes left, Corey. So let's go ahead real quick, and we're going to hit up on let's go with let's go back to one of the hard – let's go to the AFC, and let's look at the AFC North. Let's go with the Cleveland Browns. They're tied for fifth with the Los Angeles Rams. And funny, both the teams – I like both my teams, and they're tied for the toughest schedule at number five. The Cleveland Browns is 134 against 1K. So you're looking at the Cleveland Browns schedule, and I looked at the schedule, and I know the schedule is god-awful ugly. They didn't do us no favors whatsoever when they gave us the schedule.
Corey, did you get it yet?
Yes, sir. It's their first game is Pittsburgh. I believe the Steelers are going to win that one. Week two at New Orleans, I believe the Saints will win that one. Week three, I've got the Browns beating the Jets on Thursday night. Week four at Oakland, I'm going to go with Oakland. More at home. I believe they can pull this one off because the Ravens have got more question marks than they have answers right now, really, for me.
Right.
Week six, I think the Chargers will win. Week seven at Tampa Bay, I believe the Browns do win this one. So at this rate, they're three wins. So I'm on pace for it. Week eight at Pittsburgh, I don't see them beating Pittsburgh. Week nine, I want y'all to hear me out on this. When I say this, write it down. The Cleveland Browns will beat Kansas City this year. I'm calling it. week 10, Atlanta at home. I don't think it makes much of a difference. Atlanta's going to walk away with this one. They have a bye week 11. So really a gauntlet schedule, but they can pull out, you know, 3 to 4 wins easily in that 10-week span. Week 12, they're at Cincinnati. I believe they can win this one. Week 13 at Houston, I think Houston will pull that one out. Week 14, Carolina, I believe Carolina wins that one. Week 16, I can see the Cleveland Browns winning it. I think I'm not really sold on it yet, but I'm gonna give it to the Browns against Cincinnati, a sweep against Cincy. Then week 17, I believe they will this is a toss-up game for me. They get Baltimore. I believe Baltimore wins simply for the home crowd advantage.
Do you how many wins do you think you, if you had to go in your crystal ball, how many wins do you see the Browns getting?
I said at the I believe our first episode of Bones Jones, I said I could easily see the Browns winning, you know, 5, maybe 6 games. Just with the talent they've acquired. I still think it's going to be a struggle process for them to – it's going to be a year to see where they're at talent-wise. But I believe they're in the – they got the mind frame to – they're sick of losing, being the laughing stock of the NFL. They're ready to step up. They're ready to take that next step into being a playoff-caliber team. I think this year is just their stepping stone.
6 wins, huh?
Okay, where do you see them drafting at next year? Do you see them in the top 6, top 10, top 4?
I say maybe the top 10.
Okay.
It really depends on the games I've got them picked to win. If they can pull a few upsets off, that's for me. I see them staying around the top 10, maybe like, you know, 8 to 10.
Okay. Hey, looking at this schedule, you got the Steelers in the playoffs, Saints in the playoffs. You got Steelers again, you got the Falcons. You got the Falcons, and you have Panthers, and you have, that's it. You had the two teams. You had the 4 teams in the playoffs. But I'm looking at they're going to be playing the AFC West and the NFC South, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm hoping the situation with Josh Gordon is not that serious. I think, I mean, nobody can say anything about it, but I think he just had a report to wherever he was getting the treatment at before for precautionary reasons, whatever the case may be. I think sometimes we as fans, we over-exaggerate certain things when it comes to certain players. And I think that if there was a substance abuse issue, we would have heard about it by now, and he would have got fined, and he would probably had to sit out another year. So I don't see that happening. So I'm okay with whatever's going on with him. Also, that could be a good place for Des Bryant as well, to go and play. I know there's been a conversation about him going to Cleveland and playing there, and this is a mutual interest for both teams. But after what Dez did, bringing him on, because he threw a couple players underneath the bus. And all that, I'm gonna say this right here. You know, when we're not in the locker room, so we don't know what goes on. But if a guy comes out and talks to you about what's going on in the locker room, that means she's not happy about something. He's not happy about some players. There's a lot of stuff going on that he's not happy about. So he wants to express himself. And he did that. John Lee came back and said what he had to say. And now hopefully that thing is squashed. I still like to see Des Bryant on somebody's team, if it's not the Browns. You know what I'm saying? I think he still has talent. He still has enough talent to be out there on the football field. As far as the Browns are concerned, I got bets with a couple of people that they're going to win more than two games. So once they win more than two games, I hope I have to come searching for them. I hope they just go ahead and say, yeah, if I make the bet. Yeah, Kev, I made the bet. What you want for me? And I'm like, okay, put this poker up, pick it up for a whole month and be done with it. But I see them with the talent they brought on. They got to be an 8-8 will be a great season for them because you can build off of that. And I can see I can see them doing some great things. Now we got Van Sean on here. He said Cleveland should beat the Jets, Baltimore, Cincinnati, the Chargers, Tampa, the Tampa Bay, Houston, and could be Atlanta, home outside. No car, home outside, bad weather. That makes them 6, maybe 9. Could be Cincinnati twice. I can agree with that. I was going to say something to you about the Atlanta game because it being outside, and that's in November. That's the early part of November. So you don't really know what type of weather you're going to get in Cleveland. So if that weather is bad, then it might help Cleveland more so than Atlanta, because you know Atlanta plays, and you know they're in a division that if you look at the division they're in, you got Saints, the Falcons, Carolina Panthers, and you have who's the fourth team in that division? I can't think of them right now. Man, my mind is going blank today. You got Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Carolina,
Atlanta.
So you got four teams that play in warm climate weather. So them being outside is going to be a struggle for them, and so that's going to make for an interesting game with Atlanta. And Van Sean saying that Cleveland matched up well against New Orleans, and I know the last time they played New Orleans it was a close game, so that possibly could be a win for them in the long run. But I like what Cleveland did with the free agency. They used their money wisely. They brought in good talent, players. They drafted good. I'm still not sold on Baker Mayfield. I still like Josh Allen more than I like Baker Mayfield, because when the weather gets cold and hairy up in that area, and that wind from that lake start blowing in, you're going to need a cannon to throw that football. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying – I'm hoping that Tyrod Taylor is still healthy enough to play during our time frame, but I think in the future I would have rather preferred to go with Doc than Baker Mayfield. And, Vance Charles, if you're still out there, I comment on that. What's your thoughts on drafting Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen? That's who I was picking for them to get for Josh Allen. So what's your thoughts on that as well? Let's see what our time looks like. Okay. We're down to 8 minutes. So we pretty much, let me see, because they can now move the ball on off the score, the defense won't be under the gun. The game gets shorter. I like Baker Mayfield. You like him over Josh Allen? Like I said, Corey, we got about 8 minutes left. So what I'm gonna do this real quick, I'm just gonna go over some of the other teams that we talked. I'm just tell some of the people that about the other teams. And so we got the Oakland Raiders who are tied 29th with the easiest schedule. Cincinnati Bengals with the easiest schedule. But now I want you guys to realize this right here is that everybody that said, let me see, okay, he said Mayfield was the best in the draft. I like Allen, but you don't draft Allen because he's bad on Wentz. Okay, that makes sense. But now in the AFC, when I put the poll out there, everybody said it's harder to get through, it's harder to go through the AFC to get to the playoffs than it is the NFC. But right now, you got the AFC. The AFC had more easy their lineup with more easy schedule games than the NFC. In the top 25, you have the Jets, the Raiders, Bengals, and Houston, all in the South, all in AFC with the easy schedule. You got Tennessee Titans at 31st, so Tennessee can build on to make the playoffs. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars, they can build on to make the playoffs. You got the Denver Broncos, that's 25th, they can build on to try to make the playoffs. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers, that 25th, that was in the playoffs. And you got the Jacksonville Jaguars that were in the playoffs. So those teams right there are in the East. I mean, they're in the AFC. So I think that you guys might have a little bit backwards about who has the easiest schedule as far as getting into the playoffs. In NFC, in the top eight, you got the Packers, the Saints, the Rams, you got Detroit, Tampa. Actually, you got Green Bay, Detroit, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Los Angeles Rams, and Cleveland Browns cracked the top five. But now we're talking; these are all NFC teams that we're talking about. They got the hardest schedule. Then you got the Rams, you got Seattle, you got Arizona, you got Chicago, you got Minnesota, you got the Giants, you got Carolina, you got the Falcons, you got Washington, San Francisco, Dallas. Then right here at number 15, top number 15, is the second AFC team with the toughest schedule. So I think that you guys might be a little bit biased about who you guys think has the toughest schedule when it comes to making the playoffs from the AFC to the NFC. That's all. I looked at this thing and I was like, wow, this. But it is what it is, you know. Lou, before we let you go, give us your take on your show.
All right, the Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. That's in the Eastern time zone. If you're calling from the West, it's 3 to 5. We handle everything in the world of sports. This will be covering the first game of the NFL preseason, the Hall of Fame game, which is on Thursday. And, of course, by the time the show is on, we'll also be doing the NFL Hall of Fame inductees. So we'll be covering that. Plus a break. And maybe also review some of the divisions for some of our other callers that came in last week. And we'll keep our eye on the baseball playoff races, break down all the divisions, see where they are, and a lot more. So call 929-477-3688 this Saturday if you can.
All right. Thank you. Corey, I know that Peyton, I think he said it was August 1st that he'll be doing start school, so he won't be doing the show.
Doing an awesome, so I had to check in.
Yeah, I believe it's August 1st, but I believe we are doing a show this week or Wednesday night.
Okay.
I think we're going to talk a little college football. That's not his thing, some college football. Let's see here. Yeah, we're going to talk college football.
Okay.
6 to 7 on the Eastern Standard Time. Call-in number is 929-477-3688.
All right, and so that's what's going on with those two shows. And also, you guys remember, Press Cup is just a pilot that we're doing. We are looking for some hosts out there that would like to do a pilot show. I mean, like to do a morning show if they could. Male or female, we don't really care what gender you are. As long as you know sports or like to read up on sports, we're willing to help you, teach you the ropes on how to become a host with In the Zone Sports Talk Radio Network. So me and Corey, we're just doing this because we got time to do it. Because come August 21st or 25th or 13th, whatever, whenever I start back to work again with school, I won't be doing the show. So hopefully somebody else can take over and do the show as well. Also, Betty Cantley will be back on the air come September the 1st. Her show will be called The Sports Corner. She will be on she'll be on Saturdays from 4 to 6. Her calling number is going to be 646-668-8083. We welcome Betty back. She has been away for a while. She said she wants to thank everybody for all the prayers they gave her. She's not out the woods yet, but she is ready to come back and do a show, and we're ready for her to come back and do a show because actually she is the lone wolf as far as the females on there. She's the only female host we have right now. So that's why we're looking for other female hosts or co-hosts to do shows with us. Also, we're looking for someone that will be interested to do fantasy football on Thursday night. If you're interested in that, hit me up on Facebook, inbox me. We can talk about it. We can sit down and talk about it and go over some particular things. Basically, that's what we're looking for. The barbershop show is back up and running. Hey, tonight's topic is going to be really hot. We're going to try to figure out why Kobe fans, the Lakers fans, are hating on LeBron James for coming to L.A. I got some answers for some of the questions that they're doing. I kind of know why they're doing what they're doing, but we're going to talk about it later on tonight. We're going to talk about also, should the NFL guarantee contracts like other sports? Should they guarantee money like they do in other sports? Also, we're going to have our NFL predictions with Cody Kilgore and Demetrius Etheridge. We'll be on the show. They'll be on between 7:05 and 7:10, somewhere in that area. They're going to give us who wins the division, who's the wild card team, who's going to be in the playoffs. Who wins on prediction, but starting in September, Monday night, they'll be doing the show as well. Get picks. With your picks on the pick 'em. So whichever one wins, basically, they're gonna win some gear. They're gonna win some in the zone gear between those two guys. So that should be a lot of fun. You got young against old. You got a Tennessee Titans fan against Atlanta Falcons fan. So this should be real interesting with this football pick'em segment coming up. I look forward to all you guys listening and doing live feed as well. I want to thank you guys for listening in. I want to thank you guys for calling in. I really appreciate what you guys do. I know everybody's busy. But you spend time. You take a little time out to spend with KD, K Dix, the host of the most, from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, small city with a large heart, on Mondays from 11 to 12, and we had a great time. Hope we informed you on some good stuff. Me and Corey did. Did a great job. Again, as always, Corey, hey, you guys have a great day. Be safe out there. And make sure you guys stay hydrated, because that's very important to stay hydrated right now. Even though it rains, you still got to stay hydrated. So with that being said, guys, ladies and gentlemen, y'all be safe out there. I'll see y'all guys tonight from 7 to 9. And me and my co-host on Get It In, Dana Clark out of St. Petersburg, Virginia. So make sure you guys check us out from 7 to 9. Call in number is 929-477-3688. So you guys have a blessed day. Holler back at you. It's K. Dixon. I'm out.